Given a choice, most of us would probably prefer to live in a tolerant society rather than the alternative. But today, David Cameron is going to make a speech in which, on the face of it, he seems to be saying the opposite. For too long, he will say, we have had a passively tolerant society, and what that has done is help foster a narrative of extremism and grievance. He's offering a series of proposals which, he says, will confront head-on the poisonous Islamist extremist ideology. Meaning what exactly? Well, I'm joined by the Home Secretary, Theresa May. What sort of proposals? How do you confront this thing head-on? What does that mean?
Well, first of all, I mean, the reason for doing this, John, I mean, you talk about tolerance and intolerance. I mean, there are people out there, sadly, who are seeking to divide us. We are a government of one nation. We want to bring people together to ensure we are living together as one society. But there are those who are trying to promote hatred and intolerance, seeking to divide us into a them and us and undermine our British values. And what we are proposing is a bill which will have certain measures within it, measures such as introducing banning orders for groups and disruption orders for individuals, for those who are out there actively trying to promote this hatred and intolerance, which can lead to division in our society and undermines our British values. But it will be part of a bigger picture, a strategy which will also have as a key part of it actually promoting our British values, our values of democracy, rule of law, tolerance and understanding, you know, acceptance of different faiths.
And freedom of speech, an essential prerequisite of a tolerant and decent society. And if you ban groups of people from getting together and talking about the things that worry them about the way our society is heading, don't you become a part of it?
No, well, first of all, I would say that your description of what we're proposing to do is not right.
Well, you're talking about banning groups of certain groups of people getting together.
We're not talking about banning groups of people getting together who are simply talking about problems in society or what they perceive as issues that need to be addressed.
So when do they step over the edge?
We are talking about the extremism of all sorts, Islamist extremism, but also other forms of extremism like neo-Nazism, that is seeking to promote hatred, that is seeking to divide our society, that is seeking to undermine the very values that make us a great country to live in, that make us this great pluralistic society.
And how do you divide a society then? Let's assume, for instance, that a group of people put together a meeting at which they expressed views about homosexuality that you or I might perhaps find repugnant. Would they be dividing society?
What we're talking about here is an extremism that has an impact, that is divisive, that is trying to undermine our values.
Well, that would be divisive, wouldn't it?
That is trying to undermine our values. But the reason that we're doing this is, first of all, because we do need, I think, to ensure that we are together as one society. We are one nation. We are working to ensure...
Speaking with one voice?
Well, there will be different views within that nation. Of course there will be different views.
Indeed.
And nobody is suggesting that different views cannot be expressed. But one of the reasons for looking at this issue of extremism is the path down which it can lead people. And what we can see often is that this extremist preaching, this message of hatred, this message of intolerance can actually lead down a path of radicalisation.
And what I'm trying to get you to define is at what point it strays into that area, at what point it doesn't become just a disagreement with you or me or the bloke next door or the woman next door. It becomes something that should worry us to the extent that it should be banned. That's what I'm trying to get at. At what point does it qualify for being banned?
And obviously, when we introduce the legislation which has these banning orders, one of the tasks in that legislation will be to ensure that we have the definitions
properly
so that they can... Well, we have a definition of extremism, which we have in our extremism strategy.
But you seem to be saying you'll know it when you see it, which is a bit unsatisfactory, isn't it?
I'm not saying we know it when we see it. John, the whole process of introducing legislation in this country is that actually you start off with the principle of what we want to do, which is to ensure that we can promote British values, the values that unite us as a society.
It's a woolly phrase, promoting British values. You can't have legislation to promote British values, can you? A law that says these are our values and if you don't agree with them, then, well, what? You go to jail? I mean, how do you promote British values in a legalistic sense?
I suspect that there are many people listening to this programme who feel that actually we haven't, as a society in the past, been positive enough about the values that unite us as a society.
But what does that mean? Forgive me for using the phrase again, but that's a bit woolly, isn't it? Positive enough. I mean, I could run out into the street now and you couldn't say, look, these are the values we all stand for. Wonderful, wonderful. Somebody else would come along and say, rubbish, I believe in something different. Now, at what point, what I'm really puzzled by is how you get to define the line. You draw the line at which you've crossed over that line and it's unacceptable, legally unacceptable.
Well, that is, if I may, the one part of what we're doing is the legislation, which has the banning orders, the disruption orders, the ability to close premises. And that will have within it, will have definitions of extremism. We've set out a definition of extremism at the moment, but we'll very clearly set out in the legislation how those banning orders will operate.
So what is extremism? Because we have loads of laws that ban, for instance, hate speech, all sorts of laws. You obviously can't incite violence. That is a criminal offence. You go to jail for it. What is it that we are trying to ban?
Well, we are trying to deal with those situations, with those in our society who are actively operating or promoting an extremism, which is undermining. I know you say that promoting our values is something that you say is woolly, but actually,
woolly because it could mean anything, couldn't it? I mean, depending on who you are. If, for instance, you believe in gay marriage, fine, that is a value for you. If you don't believe in gay marriage, you're absolutely entitled not to believe in gay marriage, and presumably you would still be entitled to say, I don't believe in gay marriage.
I
think it damages society.
Yes,
that would offend your values.
But what we're talking about is the key values that underline our society and are being undermined by the extremists. Values like democracy, a belief in democracy, a belief in the rule of law, a belief in tolerance for other people, equality, an acceptance of other people's faiths and religions. We all have one of the great things about living in the United Kingdom is that we all have a right to live our lives as we choose to live our lives. But we also have a responsibility to respect other people's right to live their lives as they choose to live. I think this is important. What we are seeing is people undermining what I would call those fundamental values of democracy and the rule of law and of tolerance of other people, and doing that in a way which can lead people down the route of radicalisation and then obviously can lead them into violence and into taking action to undermine our society.
But it's entirely possible, isn't it, that if you don't ban those people but instead, as it were, allow them to hide in plain sight of everybody, it will lead you to those who actually do want to break the law, who do want to kill people in pursuit of their aims. And it might be counterproductive what you're trying to do.
No, what we're trying to do is will be part of a wider strategy, which is about ensuring that we can, on the one hand, introduce this legislation, which we're talking about today, with these banning orders in it, but also there are other parts to this strategy. There will be a programme to help isolated communities, a programme to actively promote our British values, looking at issues like entryism in bodies. I mean, I think many people were deeply concerned when they saw the issue that arose, what was called the Trojan horse, in the schools in Birmingham, at the attempts to change young minds that was taking place as a result of that. People were concerned about that, and we need to ask the question about how that happened and what we can do in order to ensure that it doesn't happen again. This is about ensuring that we have and maintain what keeps us together and what makes this a great country to live in our pluralistic values.
A word, if I may, about something else. Front page lead of the Times today, written a piece for the Times, which says the Times says you are getting tough over the fate of med migrants, as they put it. And you want an opt-out from Britain taking a share of the quota of people who are who've left trying to find a new life in Europe. Isn't this a bit of a false argument? We have an opt-out already. It was negotiated many years ago.
Well, we have consistently said that we would not participate in these, that we felt that it was right that this should be any such scheme of quotas should be a voluntary scheme. Mm. There are always discussions in Europe as on what basis issues are taken forward. We have an opt-out on justice and home affairs measures, and I think this migration issues are clearly justice and home affairs measures.
So there's nothing really new, then, in your opt-out, if it is an opt-out?
What is right is that, as a government, both I and the Prime Minister have been saying consistently and clearly for some time that we would not participate in this scheme. There's a reason for that. We do feel that, and people often talk about this as being an issue primarily about refugees. Actually, if you look at people coming across the central Mediterranean, the largest number of people in the countries they're coming from are countries like Nigeria, Eritrea, Somalia. These are very often economic migrants, people who have paid criminal gangs to transport them across Africa, to put them into vessels which those criminal gangs know are not seaworthy, where they know there is a risk of people dying, but they are, they're reckoning that actually there will be rescued, and obviously we're taking part through the Navy and Border Force in those rescues. We need to deal with that traffic in human beings. We need to deal with that by dealing with the criminal gangs, and obviously by working with the countries that people are coming from to ensure that people no longer feel the need to try to reach Europe.
The problem is the message it's sending, this sort of language you've been using, it sends to the rest of Europe. I don't know if you heard Sandro Gozzi, the Italian Minister for European Affairs, on this programme an hour ago, and he said what it sounds as if we are trying to do is opt out of helping people who are fleeing from starvation.
No, absolutely not. And I would reject that in two ways. First of all, as I've just mentioned, we're participating in the search and rescue in the Mediterranean. HMS Bulwark is part of that. We have seeking helicopters there.
But you want to send them back home?
Two Border Force cutters. Secondly, in relation to refugees from Syria, people who have been disrupted, whose lives have been upturned as a result of what has been happening in Syria, we are the second biggest bilateral donor in relation to aid. £800 million has been given. We are supporting people who have had to, who are refugees from Syria.
But when you look at people who are leading truly, truly, truly desperate lives, Syrian people, how many Syrians have actually been allowed to settle in this country?
Well, we have taken overall through the various schemes. Several thousand people have been allowed to settle in this country because we are accepting asylum claims.
Specifically about Syrians.
But this is Syrians. Asylum claims from Syrians, but also schemes including our very specific scheme to take a number of people who are some of the most vulnerable, particularly those who have suffered from sexual violence.
But you'd accept that it's a very, very small percentage of those people who want to come here.
Well, it's a small percentage of those people who are refugees from Syria, who've been disrupted from Syria and who are in neighbouring countries.
Europe is
not going to be able to accommodate the several million people who have been disrupted from Syria, and many of whom actually want to be able to stay in the region and to be able at some stage to go home. The best way to help those is what we as a government are doing, £800 million, helping in those refugee camps, providing medical supplies, providing food, providing water, providing shelter, keeping those people alive.
Home Secretary, many thanks.